I would like to start by saying that originally my wife did not approve of this.
That is not true.
Because you guys cuss on the show. And
no,
she
no,
thought it
I
was...
said it in front of the children. Just don't play it while the children are awake.
So
I highly approve of drinking and cussing and shenanigans. So
yeah,
we've had a surprising amount of soccer moms who like played the podcast without like with their kids in the car. It doesn't make sense to me.
Oh, it makes perfect sense to me. They need to hear my voice at all hours of the day and night. I understand. Yeah. Their husbands are terrible. I am not. It's Friday, September 29, 2016, and this is Catching Foxes, America's number one rated Catholic podcast that's at least PG-13. We've had a handful of pretty intense episodes lately, so we decided with this interview to have some fun, which, yes, includes large quantities of Miller Lite. You are going to love our interview with Jackie Francois and her husband, Bobby the Sea Urchin. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode number 62, Exacerbating Angels. Enjoy.
You know, I actually heard this story about a Christian-like singer-songwriter guy who was in a writing meeting, and all of these executives told him that he needed to write to soccer moms whose husbands were probably cheating on them. That's how to get on K-Love.
Oh my gosh, I heard that same story, because that's pretty much why most Christian music is men. Like, you know, men in their 40s, and they're writing the songs for the soccer moms.
And he looks like the guy from House Flippers and, you know, What's Next? No one watched that show. Okay,
no,
sorry.
No. Sorry. If you would have said Chip from...
That's what I meant.
Chip.
And Joanna Gaines.
Joanna Gaines. The cutest couple ever.
They Chip. Really are.
He's yeah. Stud.
They are cute.
Chip is my spirit animal.
Yeah, okay.
Ron Swanson, spirit animal.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But seriously, talk more about us. Talk more about Catching Foxes. It's my favorite
Bobby,
topic.
Bobby listens to your podcast every night while he is washing dishes. He puts your podcast on.
So I associate your voices with washing a dish. In fact, I compulsively may wash a dish tonight.
That's so awesome. Are you guys, just happened. I don't know.
Everything is so damn clean. So what have you guys been up to today? What is your day? This is not a part of the show. What is your day like today?
Oh, gosh. So,
is this one of those, like, it's not part of the show, but you're going to leave it in the show?
No, no. Well,
no,
maybe.
That happens every
maybe.
Time.
Yeah.
Did okay, you hear the Raymond so, Arroyo thing? I did not expect that to be in there.
Raymond Arroyo. Evanescence, I've learned so much.
I will sum up my day with a quote from my friend who said, she said, like, some days I ask myself, how can I be a better mom? And, you know, Lord, how can I do better? And then some days I'm proud of myself for not selling my children on Craigslist. Well, yes. Today was one of those latter days. So our toddler is sick and she is constantly whining. And it's sad, but she's, oh my gosh. I just wanted to sell her on Craigslist.
Yeah.
So that was my day.
How old are you kiddos?
Abigail's 2, and then Zaylee is 7 months.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, so I had a rough one.
I like all their birthday pictures and stuff. I mean, I've done that on Facebook at least, right? I just got to keep track of it better. It's not creepy. There's no need for small talk anymore because of Facebook. It's like, so how's your family doing? I already know.
You know? I know. I saw your vacation photos.
Yeah.
That was a weird trip.
Oh my goodness. Bobby, how was your day?
Yeah, I work at an all boys Catholic high school. It smells awful. I love it. So I teach 2 theology classes and then I do campus ministry. So
what theology classes do you teach?
I teach freshmen. God help them.
Is that literally the title of the class? Freshmen, God help them. Theology 101.
God help you all. It's the freshman level, they're still respectful and scared. It's actually, I like it. Yeah. Seniors, sophomores up, they don't care. You're an idiot. And it's kind of like a Catholicism 101. And so I assume they know nothing, which is a fair assumption. Usually the K-8 Catholic kids are the most like, what? Jesus?
Yeah. I'll never forget a kid who I did a Bible study at my church, my first Bible study I ever did, and I thought, well, we'll just walk through 1 Corinthians, and everyone will want to come to this Bible study. And and literally, it was just me quoting Scott Hahn for an hour and a half. And the kids would come, and mostly kids would go. And one kid came, it was his first one, and he's like, wow, you know, I went to 8 years of Catholic school, so I didn't know a lot of this stuff. And then we started talking, and I was going on, and he's like, wait, real quick. So Jesus died on the cross?
Oh, my God.
Literally, this is what the kid said. And I go, excuse me? And he goes, I mean, like, he died, right? Because, I mean, in all the images, his eyes are, like, open and...
Oh, my gosh.
And they go, but he goes, but isn't he, like, alive today? Like, isn't that the miracle? And I was like, oh, but the resurrection. And I was like, you know what that means, like coming back from the dead? And he's like, oh! And it was at that moment that I knew that Catholic schools suck.
Oh, yeah. I had my moment when Bobby and I were doing a retreat, and it was for confirmation kids. We were giving the keynotes at this retreat. And I sat in a small group. And I asked them what the good news was, and like the gospel. I said, what is the good news? I was like, because gospel means good news. And they couldn't tell me. I said, so why did Jesus come? Like, they really did not ever think. I said, why did he come? And then I said, okay, why did he die for us? Like, why did we need to be, like, they really just didn't know even the basic message of Christianity. And they were getting confirmed in 2 weeks.
I just want to take this time to give a big thank you to all of the baby boomers that make our job so easy / frustrating.
Oh, here's my kids. Convert them.
Yeah. The baby boomers give me a job. So thank you, baby boomers.
Yeah. Hi, I'm America's Catholic baby boomer. And I want to say I don't know anything about my faith, but I'll be pissed if you don't teach my kids everything about the faith.
Yes. Oh, my God.
I'll be filling out a complaint card to your pastor every day. But I'm going to tell you, you know what's beautiful? Do you guys get to do any, like, young adult or adult ministry?
Yes, and we love it. We love it.
I wish we did more college young adult ministry.
Yeah. Young adult is where it is at. It is so – well, for me, I love doing adult ministry. But it is so fun because if there is a glimmer – of, like, responsiveness to the faith, it's the greatest experience of all time. Because they're like, life is so new and fresh, and now it's on their terms, and you just get to work with that. And they're not as big of assholes as high school students and middle school students could be. They're just
you don't have to worry about chaperoning them.
Oh, it's the best part. It's the best part.
And you don't have to worry about safe environment. Like, I literally, I gave a talk to the young adults at a Steubenville conference.
There's words you don't have to filter out.
Yes, I don't have to filter. And I had some of these young adults come up to me and they said, oh my gosh, Jackie, I've heard you as a teenager and now I've heard you as a young adult. It's so much better as a young adult. It's because I don't have to filter. Like, I can say the word horny and they can laugh, but I don't have to worry that safe environment police are going to come arrest me, you know?
Yeah. Will you do me a favor and use the word horny in a sentence? Go.
I think if I gave a talk at a young adult conference, I would just drink on stage. I would be like Ron Swanson.
Unashamed.
Not as cool. Yeah.
Yeah. You would have a shirt that said unashamed. You would walk out there and you're like, what? They do it on Mad Men. And then just drink.
Clink, clink, clink.
Oh, my God.
So can I tell you, in the seminary, we had Mad Men Mondays. There was a group. There was a group of four of us. One of them had them all on DVD. And we would watch them like 2 or 3 episodes on Mondays. It became my favorite night of the week. But you can't drink. You can't watch that show sober. It's profoundly.
Oh, no.
It's so depressing. So we would drink every time Don Draper would take a sip. So by the second, third episode, you're like shouting at the TV screen. And everyone's an idiot. And these are like the future priests of America. And
I done you, Joan's a good awesome. Person.
Yeah.
You call that art direction?
Roger Sterling.
That's my favorite. Like, no one has made any comments about any of my Roger Sterling little jokes that I've been doing recently.
Nope.
It makes me sad.
Here I am.
Here I am. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Thank you. So I don't know you two at all. So I'm Luke, by the way. Hello.
Hi, Luke. Nice to meet you.
Luke, they know everything about you, though.
Welcome to my life now. Everyone I meet knows everything about me. That's true. Gomi, you're probably going to have to carry the first part because I'm still waking up.
Nope. I like the awkward silence. It makes me feel good about myself. No, so what would you say, Jackie, you, now I met you like, oh man, maybe like 8 years ago at a Life Teen Cove Crest Priest Musicians and Hosts Conference. You remember that? Like in the Ancient of Days?
Yes.
No, you're lying. You're totally lying right now.
Well, I thought I met you before that when you possibly were a host, because I've been like on summer staff, but maybe that's when it was, because I was trying to remember, but I knew it was at Cove Crest at some point, but I didn't remember that it was but I remember that was the, I think that's the only Priest host musician conference I've been to.
Yeah, they canceled them pretty quickly, which is sad because they were awesome, but I think we drank too much on Cove Crest. they had this very funny relationship with drinking. It's like, they did not want it at all, because obviously you're working and you're around kids. I'm not saying you're drinking at dinner, but like having a beer with a bunch of people that you haven't seen in a year, you know, there's anywho. So that's when I first met you.
Yeah. I'm hearing wounds.
I know. I'm so broken. For number one, I'm very happy I'm no longer doing that. I love doing summer camp stuff, but man, it is exhausting. I mean, you are on for 12 to 16 hours a day.
Yes.
And then you go to sleep, and then you wake up, and it's like, hey, just let you know, we have a youth minister coffee talk at 6 a.m. Good luck singing. You're like, what? Okay.
Why?
And when you're the musician, you have to sing at that, which is even worse, because you're like,
here I am,
bullfrog.
Yeah. My favorite thing was I was always paired with either Ben Walther or Mikey Needleman. And they both were like, I hate singing in the morning. So I was like, okay, well, I'll just talk long until your voice gets ready. That's what I would do.
No problem there.
I think every musician hates singing in the morning. It's terrible.
Yeah. Would you consider yourself, Jackie, a speaker, a musician? What's your primary thing?
That's really funny, because this weekend I had one person was like, oh, Jackie, I didn't know you were a singer. And then I had somebody else be like, oh, Jackie, I didn't know you were a speaker. It was just funny. Like, they both had seen me leading. One had seen me leading worship. One had seen me speaking. They didn't know I was. I would say I probably do most speaking. But when I speak, I almost always include music. So, like, I always lead worship at the end. But probably only maybe 10% of the things I do with my band. Or maybe, like, 15%. I don't know. Yeah, or like purely lead worship. So most of it is speaking, and a little bit of it is leading. But yeah, I always try to include music in the speaking.
How, when you're speaking, how do you feel like, I don't know, how do you feel like you're being received? Because I know one of the big comments kind of going around in a lot of Catholic circles is that there's so many men in the Catholic speaking circuit, right? It's like five times as many men as there are women. And that's both good and bad, right? Because like good, it's like, yeah, then the women that are out there get asked often, but bad because they usually think of women second to lead something or whatever. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, somebody once told me, and I think this was a wound, is that they told me, they're like, men can speak to both men and women, and women can really only speak to women. I was like, wow, that's terrible.
I don't know who said that, but I've had that exact comment said to me. Yeah.
Really? Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's as if like the Holy Spirit only can work through men. Like, it's just, and it's funny because I've not had that experience. Like,
that's in the Catechism, by the way.
Paragraph 1098.
Somewhere in the back.
Aw, Simpsons
quote.
The
Holy Spirit works more through men than they do through, it does through women. So, no.
It's science.
I've had good I will say my favorite ministry is towards women, with women, with, you know, like young adult women, adult women, young, like high school. I love women's ministry because I feel like I can speak to a deeper, like, again, it's kind of with young adults. Like, you can go to a deeper place, right? So I really enjoy women's ministry. However, I did have that like fear, like, am I not gonna be able to speak to the guys? But I've had like young guys come up to me like, Jackie, I went into the seminary after I heard you talk, like, or I did, you know, I've just had young men come up and say, like, I have my conversion. So I don't listen to that kind of crap. Yeah. Like, I'm like, you know, the Holy Spirit will speak to whomever and to whoever, you know.
Do you think that person maybe was saying, I don't, it's not that like the Holy Spirit only speaks to men, but men are, young men are such assholes that they won't listen to women. You know, it's like,
That could be, and that could be the case. But however, I feel like when you use humor, it breaks down the barriers of, you know, and I feel like when you're authentic, and I do see, you know, there are some female speakers, and I don't feel like any of them are really national, but they're like super girly girl. And like, even like a lot of girls don't like that. And, you know, it's weird. I've noticed that a lot of the female speakers that are like that speak at female conferences, a lot of us have deeper voices. Isn't that strange? I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but none of us have really like super high pitched. I'm a musician, so I kind of told that to Bobby. I was like, a lot of the women have deeper voices. And I wonder if that, I don't know if it's like a, I don't know. I don't know what it is about, like a commanding thing or maybe like a
science.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I think like it's just the arena style of like a big conference. The reality is you have to command a room. You know, and if you're mousy, you can't really do that. If you're shrill, you can't really do that. But if you have that solid tone, I think that you could do that. I don't know. Or everyone's just sexist.
We all want to be men.
You're all in transition in one way or another.
If Caitlyn Jenner has taught us anything, which she hasn't, it's that every. No, I'm just kidding. So we've actually kind of talked about this like in like a much earlier podcast, but I think it'd be interesting to bring it back up. Do any of you guys like think that those big events are starting to kind of like wear thin, that we're, you know, that we are transitioning out of them or their effectiveness?
I think there will always be a time like a, I don't think so. I mean, I think discipleship, it has to come out from that, right? But I feel like there's always a time for like this evangelistic kind of thing, which I think these conferences are. They're kind of like a hype up for Jesus and they get you excited. And I know for me, that was kind of my conversion happened through that, but then it had to go deeper. Like I couldn't just stay on that mode.
I think because I'm here because of a Steubenville conference when I was 18. Otherwise, I'd be a lukewarm Catholic in the pew today, probably, if even going at all. And so I think absolutely like there's a need. They're going to, I think, for like that conversion, that wake up, that excitement. If you don't come from a youthful parish and you see 3,000 teenagers worshiping, that knocks you on your butt. But then where do I go from that? And my faith cannot be based on a 3-day conference every summer
or a feeling, you know, it can't be based.
Yeah. And so I think there's a hunger now for when I revisit it, it doesn't satisfy. I need to go deeper. And so you see a lot of programs, you see a lot of more discipleship focused resources coming about. And I think that's a very healthy thing. I don't think the conferences will go away. I hope they don't go away.
I would agree. I'm without giving too much away because of my work and blah, blah, blah. I kind of think that we are at a point right now where, because it used to be like, go to a Steubenville conference and then you have to till the soil after that kind of a thing. And that's where they got the steroid shot. And I think what's kind of happening right now is there are a lot more opportunities. So you have like, you can, have teens or like adults or like, you know, whoever, where you can have them go to an event based upon where they are or like what's going to help them, grow into their faith, as opposed to the old model, which I think is probably true when we were all in, cause I'm kind of assuming that we are like all the same age, but back like in the 90s and stuff, it was like, yeah, just like go to a simple thing, have a conversion, and, you know, and see what happens. Where I think right now there's a lot more opportunities for, like, your faith walk. I don't know. Does that make sense?
I'll just say this real quick, Luke, just so you know. Jackie's only 17.
Oh, wow. Way to go.
Well, Bobby for the win or lose? I don't know what to say.
Bobby, this is actually an intervention.
What are you doing dating and marrying 17-year-olds? Oh, God. So, no, I agree. Quickly, backpedal.
Hey, we may need to pause for a second. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Oh no!
Oh no! The audio is doing really weird things on our end. Like you guys. You
guys sound like robots. We got robot voiced. Are we still robot voiced?
It's going in and out. So it's in and out. Sounds so good right now.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! I miss in and out.
I need a double double.
I want one of their milkshakes right now.
Hey Gomer, can I make a request?
Yes.
You know how you insert audio clips during the podcast at random intervals? Nickelback's Hero has been speaking to my heart ever since that one podcast. Can I just get like an 8-second clip right here?
Bobby. Bobby. And yes.
Thank you.
I'm gonna date Avril Lavigne.
That song was dormant in my subconscious for like years.
Yeah,
I don't know when how old I was when the first Spider-Man came out, but I had that album.
Why?
It just like unlocked my adolescent self. It was beautiful.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Awesome. I was watching a dish and I was crying.
The tears.
Fell onto the dish and cleaned it itself.
And then you dried it with your hair. And then your wife walked in and caught you and said, "Use a towel, you stupid, stupid man." I got
no, it. I said, "Use my hair, idiot." Yeah.
Look at these beautiful blonde locks. They're so flowy.
they're red now. Red locks.
What? You got
He's gone Jean Grey.
Yeah.
Oh, shoe girl. Shoe. I'm going to have to Google that shit.
I know. Come on, you ain't following my Instagram, are you? Seriously.
No, I don't follow anyone on Instagram. I hate Instagram.
You selfish bastard.
Dwight, you ignorant slut. So which Jackie should I follow on Facebook? Do you have the secret personal account? The JJ account? Yeah, okay.
You could follow both, gosh. Like, I'm going to take up that much of your time.
Let's tell 3,000 people about her personal account. Go on.
What a creeper.
No, yeah. My personal account is where I post all, you know, all my personal stuff.
Yeah,
like children.
Like children.
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, I mean, just I post more often. I'm having a tough time with social media, like knowing how much to post. Yeah. And it's kind of this, I hate it so much. Like, well, you should post it because you got to, like, you know, keep like your, I don't know. It's like this, I hate it. I kind of want to get off of social media.
Can I throw this out to you guys?
Yeah.
In terms of like new evangelization and what Christ will hold us accountable for. Go on. That's my favorite Gomer line. Go on.
I stole it from Luke.
I was just about to say that.
My favorite is when he says anywho.
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 That's our drinking game.
Hey, real quick, just so you know, I toned it down because apparently in the first 5 episodes, I said it like every other sentence. And
people were getting drunk in the drinking game of anywho.
I didn't know it was a drinking game. But no, someone wrote it.
We do need a Catching Foxes drinking game. Like, someone's got to create that. Come on, nerds.
It's a board game.
But someone wrote in and said, "Will you please stop saying anywho? Thank you. Otherwise, great show. Love it." And I'm like, oh.
I think I tweeted you. I tweeted and said to you, I love, because I say anywho as well, but you used it gratuitously, and it was.
And I don't mean to.
Anyway, anywho.
Boom.
So, on social media, I am a bit of a Ron Swanson. I like to be off the grid. I don't care for it. And yet, I feel like these are, at our fingertips, and Jesus will say, I gave you these things. Why didn't you evangelize through them? And I don't know how – I don't know. The old man in me says, I don't care. I'd rather do face-to-face evangelization. Let me focus on that. And yet I feel like I ought to be doing more. So I just want to throw out to you guys, have you wrestled with this same dilemma?
Absolutely. I'm inclined to say that real interaction is always better. And anything that's done online should always be as a means to an end. So like our podcast is great. Like we do it online. It's, you know, like it's fun. It's opened up a lot of doors and stuff, but I do not, if that was all that we did, like if that was the only kind of ministry that we did, I think it'd be very hollow and very shallow. So I think it's a supplement to all the other things that we are currently like doing. And I don't think it really is required at all. I don't think we should ever talk again about why you need to be on like online to be involved in the new evangelization. If anything, I think it's the exact opposite, that we need to be doing personal accompaniment, which can only go like you literally only go so far with that.
Oh, Luke, you just put me to sleep with all your righteous indignation. No, this is how I feel about social media. Social media is just what you talk. That's Daddy's Piggy. Piggy's got the conk. Piggy's got the conk.
That is not what I thought you said. Go on.
Oh my gosh.
Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. No, my view of social media is simply this. It doesn't need to be another thing that guilt trips me in my life. I have enough of that. Thank you. I'm married. I don't need another thing guilt tripping me. The most important thing that we can do about social media is pick one. Like, there are so many things that is competing for your time and attention. Facebook for the fake way you want to post longer things and pictures and share them with your Aunt Ethel. Snapchat for all the things you would never share with your Aunt Ethel. You know, like, it's just like all these different stuff. I think there is no obligation in any way, shape, or form. Now, if you want to maintain an audience, this is the greatest time in the history of the world to do that, because it's so like something like Facebook, our Catching Foxes podcast. Someone, when we did our contest to give people free books in order to purchase from them reviews on iTunes, we had one guy write, and I'll never forget this. He said they do an excellent job of engaging people on their Facebook page. You can actually reach out and they will talk to you multiple times that day. And that's really important for me. But if that was Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat, and then it's going to dilute your ability to actually respond. So I think there's a careful balance, what your soul can tolerate and then what's really actually important to drive the ministry.
No. Yeah, I would agree with that, but I would just add that I don't think it's like it's that it's necessary for like just your day-to-day life. It's a luxury.
Anima technica vacua.
Yeah, which is like I'm like if I do get a master's, I'm probably going to write like I will write a thesis on that, because I think it's such a real thing. I don't know, and I still don't know exactly what it is, but like it's so I'm like, oh my, like I just, it's crazy.
Those Latin words sound fucking awesome.
I know.
I wonder what catfishing.
I want to watch Blue Dog Saints now and get a tattoo on my fingers.
Veritas.
So I mean, I don't know if that really answers. Well, I thought that, okay, my answers were awful. His were great. Go with Gomer.
Lord, prepare me.
That's all. I was thinking, go with Gomer. You can go with Gomer.
Oh, man.
He's going to title that episode, Go with Gomer. Now. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Go with Gomer with Jackie and Bobby. Can I just say, I just want to tell everyone, like, my love affair. Oh, let me rephrase that. My ardent admiration and friendship with you two as a couple. was started, was it 2 years ago or three? I don't even remember. Well, we did like three Steubenville conferences in a row.
It was two because I was pregnant with Abby.
And I was pregnant with Thomas. Go on.
You were pregnant with the love of Christ.
Is that what that was? I just thought it was my morbid obesity. Okay, continue.
Yeah, and so, yeah, we had a few conferences with you, and I was so excited for Bobby to meet you because I mean, not that I have a love affair with Gomer. That's terrible. I'm not a cat.
I'm strangely okay with it.
Just roll with it.
I've been in that boat for 15 years. Welcome aboard.
There are scores of soccer moms listening to my voice right now who are in the same boat.
But I told Bobby, I said, Bobby, there are a few people in my life who I feel like their opinion, it matters because they're moderate. Like I trust their opinion. And you're one of those people, Gomer, just because you're very balanced. You're not, you know, like, I don't know. I feel like you are virtuous, but I also love your humor. And so when you have an opinion on something, you're very smart, but you're also not calculated.
Discerning.
Yeah, you're discerning. Ooh, and nice. So when you post something politically or when you post something, I trust you. And there's only a few people I really, really like value. I'm like, okay, I'm going to listen because Gomer knows his stuff. He's smart. He's discerning. And I trust his view. So I told Bobby that. Like, I was like, Bobby, I can't wait for you to meet him because he's so funny. He's so smart.
I lost myself in your beard when I first saw
literally.
You.
Literally.
And days later, I emerged.
A better man.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, it's so funny, though. It's like, you should meet Gomer. He's smart and loves Catholic things. And you guys can talk about the beauty of our Lord and the revelation. And literally, we spent hours with Father Michael Schmitz debating Batman comic books and The Dark Knight Rises and stuff like that.
And the necessity of reboots and et cetera, et cetera.
Retconning. It was my favorite part. I mean, it was so funny because, like, when we would do the team meeting. So for those of you who don't know, when you do a Steubenville conference drink, you have to they spend a lot of time making sure the team is praying together and is gelling as a team as much as they can on a weekend, you know? I go to conferences and like archdiocese and youth rallies and all that stuff where you're just there. Like, you two are totally independent people, and you go and you do a show and then you walk away. And but Steubenville Conference, they want you as a team, as a micro community, really ministering from that. So it was really fun, like, connecting in that way. But then afterwards, when especially Saturday night, when you have, like, you spend all day building and adoration and all this stuff, and then afterwards you're like, ugh. All of us went to Damon's when we did the Steubenville conference, and we went down there and we shut the place down talking about Superman and Batman. And
we're like, we just talked about Batman. Like, Jesus is great, but
Jesus is great, but there's only so much I can take.
No, Zack Snyder. What the hell?
Yes. The murder verse of the DC universe.
Seriously. Yeah. Those Steubenville conferences were great.
Shut up, Luke. Shut up, Luke. Why don't you go run back to your maybe archdiocese? Enjoy your bureaucracy. We're free spirits.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We fill out 1099s. We're free spirits.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's a worse when you're waiting on those.
Oh, I know. Hey, but okay, so one of my favorite things about you guys is Jackie. Your
Thank
story.
You.
Screw you, Gomer.
One of my favorite things about the two of you is just one of you, Jackie. The other one of you is superfluous and, to be honest, quite ugly. Jackie.
See if you can guess which one.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so there's two things I need to say. Number one, you, Jackie, need more more stringed instruments in your Facebook profile picture. That being said, could you tell people about the string of men that you have sent into seminary by your reckless dating life and then how you discovered your beautiful Bobby? I love this story. It is literally, when I heard that story for the first time, the air conditioning unit was clogged, the filter, and there was stuff in my eye and it caused my eyes to water.
Right, right. No,
it wasn't, because I'm a real man and I don't cry. But
it wasn't the onion you were peeling at the time.
No, yeah, I mean, that might have something to do with it. I don't know.
I call it like, and it was funny going through, because I actually was speaking at student conferences while these relationships, well, actually, like right after one of them ended, I started being a speaker. And so I called it Goldilocks and the Three Boys. So that was like my story, because I had this one boyfriend I did. It was pretty serious. He was about to propose, and I just had this pit in my stomach, and I great guy, like awesome Catholic guy. But I just knew, like in my prayer, I just knew that he was not the guy. And I didn't know why. I was like, Lord, what is wrong with me? Like, my family loves it. My friends love it. And yeah, it turns out he was going to surprise me in Rome and propose to me at the Vatican. And he had the mass at the Vatican set up for after he was supposed to propose to me. I mean, it was just elaborate.
Oh, like, wow.
The Pope was going to be there. The Pope's brother was going to be there. It was going to be a Pope fest.
Yes. And so this, it was a rough break. I broke up with him a month before that. And not knowing that was going to happen, but
good luck with those non-refundable plane tickets. Continue.
Well, exactly. So because of that non-refundable plane ticket, the next summer, I think he went to Peru to spend a month with these missionary priests. And the summer after that, I get like a note. Remember when you used to get tagged in a note on Facebook?
Yes. Yes. So, right after getting poked. Yes, I do.
2006 was a good year.
Gosh, I forgot the poking. Stop the poking.
MySpace, what?
I still get poked to this day. Get poked.
God bless Tom.
That's your podcast. That's called Gomer. Your children, Gomer.
Yeah. Your children. So he tagged me this note on Facebook saying, like, I'm engaged. He said, but not the way you think. He said, this summer I'm going to seminary to become a priest. And it was just... I was like, I knew it. Like, I knew there was a reason I had this pit in my stomach, and I knew it. But anyway, so after that, like, three other guys that I dated or went on dates with went into seminary. Like, one of them, I went on one date with him, and then he was like, so I'm going to seminary. I was like, what? Oh my gosh, I just look at you and you go.
Listen, yeah. I just want to say that it was great going to that Italian restaurant, but after I met you, I realized I have to get as far away from women as possible.
Forever, actually.
It's amazing.
Celibacy is looking really good right now. You know, maybe.
Maybe if you were a redhead, things would be different, but right now I'm just scared and I got to go to be in seminary.
I basically had a priest tell me I should be a vocations director for a diocese, because he was like, yeah, you just date guys and they'll go into seminary. You'd be the best vocations. I was like, that's not funny. So basically I joked with God, because I discerned being a nun in college. And I said, and I thought to myself, I said, Lord, if I could be a nun, but I'm not called to be one, then I need a man who could be a good priest, but is not called to be one. And I really never thought in my wildest dreams, like, it would actually be a guy who was in seminary. And so when I first met Bobby, we were at a Theology of the Body conference. And
how appropriate.
Yes, no kidding. But interestingly enough, there was another guy who liked me at this conference. We had been seeing each other throughout, you know, going, visiting each other, whatever. And so I was kind of talking to this other guy, and Bobby was there, and I met Bobby, and I just remember thinking at the end of the week, I was like, that's the kind of guy I want to marry. Now, I did not think it was Bobby, but at the end of the week, I told my best friend, I said, seriously, if I could marry any guy in the world, it'd be Bobby Angel, but he's in seminary, so whatever. And like, I literally had no thought whatsoever that was a possibility. Like, it was so far off, remote, like, it was not even a possibility.
Okay, well, let's back this up then. What about, yeah, and the fact that your last name is Angel makes this so much sweeter.
I know.
What about your angel, your little sweet little bearded angel that that made you, what was it? What was the qualities?
Okay, so I had dated some guys who were kind of like the sweet talking Catholics. And after I dated that kind of guy, it repulsed me. I was like, ugh, like the guy who talks the talk, but doesn't really walk the walk. And he knows how to sweet talk the Catholic. And it just, when I met Bobby, like, he was just such a dork. I loved it. Like,
I didn't talk any talk.
No, he didn't. And he wore these really ugly shoes. Like, he wasn't a metro at all. Like, he just,
he doesn't know how to dress himself. He doesn't know how to talk to women. He is the one.
I just thought, yeah, he had really ugly shoes. I just remember that. But he was such a humble, like, funny, and I loved his sense of humor. And it was funny because I didn't even really get to know him that well that week, but I just remember what I did know of him and how his humility, and he just was not, and again, he's a good looking man, and he is not a jerk at all. Like, some good looking guys are just jerks, and he just was the opposite of that. And wasn't the
Well, me and Luke and Bobby all have that in common.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, but the flirt, I just can't stand the flirt. And Bobby was not the flirt at all. And I just was so attracted to that humility and that humor. And I was just like, man, that's the kind of guy I want to marry. Like a guy who's like a real, like a guy, like a man. And I had a friend, this one girl told me, I said the same thing, like, I'm a strong woman. And she was engaged. She's like, you know what? I told God, like, I need a guy who's more of a man than I am. Like, and I kind of understood.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, because I never wanted to be the wife who was like emasculating her husband because she was like I wanted a man who made me more of a woman. And I feel like in the presence of Bobby, I could be a woman. Like, I didn't have to be like an emasculating, like dominating woman. I could be, it was just, yeah. So anyways, we just began this friendship just of like, we would text each other like, hey, pray for me. I have this, you know, event coming up, but it was very rare. But I had this giant crush and I just was like, oh, well, it's going to have to die. And Bobby felt the same way. Like,
I was in the seminary, so I was just happy that a pretty blonde girl was talking to me.
She's blonde, she's from California, and she's talking to me.
Yeah, I think she's talking to me. There's no one else here.
It is a text message.
I mean, it is my phone, but you know, I mean, it could be the wrong number.
Anima Technica. Yeah, back.
So then, like, how do you come out of the seminary then, Bobby? Like, what like led to that ending?
Okay, well... Luke, seriously. Okay, let's.
Yeah. This is my favorite part is the series of novenas that you had to torturously pray.
Because
it's my favorite part because it just so the part of novenas that scare me is people treat them like, magic. Yeah, like magic or like a slot machine. I put in my money, I pull the lever, give me sevens. Oh, I didn't get sevens, therefore there is no God. Like, but you prayed this one type of novena that's like, you pray for this many days for your intention, and then you pray for this many days thanking God with however he answers that intention, you're going to thank him regardless.
Well, 3 years before I prayed this novena for Bobby, I prayed it for the second boyfriend to start going to daily mass. On the 27th day, he started going to daily mass, and then I started another novena praying that he would like propose, and on the 27th day, he broke up with me.
It's a 54 day.
So, the 54 day novena.
So at the middle point, you got so the first one was you were dating a Catholic guy, but he wasn't into like daily mass, was it?
Right,
you wanted him to be into daily mass.
Yeah, because I've been going to daily mass. I just was like, Lord, I give him like a fervor to want to see you more often. And sure enough, like the 27th day, the last day of my petition, you know, the next day he started going to daily mass. And I was like, what? Like, it actually worked, right? And so I finished that petition. I was so thankful. Well, I was like, I'm going to start another one because this was so successful. And I started seeing kind of the relationship not doing so well. And I prayed like, Lord, I pray that for humility and this guy learns how to love and the selfishness, blah, blah, blah. So on the 27th day, I'm expecting a proposal, right? And the 27th day, the last day of my petition, he breaks up with me. And I was devastated. I was so mad. But I then for 27 days had to be thankful that he broke up with me.
God, and I just wonder what God is thinking at that moment. Like, guess what I just did? And you're like, ugh, yeah. Gotta keep
and praying. You know what? I actually...
You're a good, good father.
I actually heard like Mary say to me, Mary was like, Jackie, there's someone better. And I was like, I was so annoyed and like, because I thought by 27 I'd be married and you know, all stuff. So I like wrote a journal. Like I was like, fine. I'm going to be very specific then. Cause Mother Teresa says, be specific when you pray. So I like wrote a journal for my future husband. Like I wrote in this journal, like, you know, Mama Mary, I consecrate my future spouse to you. I pray that he is like passionately Catholic, loves daily mass, loves a rosary. I pray that he is ruggedly handsome. Like, you know, I seriously wrote 3 pages of, I said like watches The Office, like has like, I just wrote like, he's taller than me, smells good, you know, just like a 3-page thing.
Smells good.
So go on.
You don't want a man.
No, he's, I mean, I'm talking pheromones, man. Pheromones.
It's the Catholic beard balm.
Yeah. Oh, good deal. Wow. Yeah. Hey, what beard balm are you wearing? What beard? What
Holy
scent?
Smokes, of course.
Holy Smokes.
Man, I'm wearing the Joseph one. Oh. It's so good.
Oh. I'm all out of mine, Tony. Anyways, go on.
Tony, who shall remain unnamed.
You should be a sponsor for this podcast.
Heyo, the only sponsor we've ever had, and we're still waiting for the check.
Wait, did you guys win?
Win what? Oh! No, I Wait, won. But we haven't officially figured out who won Team Michael versus Team Luke.
Oh, well, damn. There was also a Team Angel.
Yeah.
And a Tony who shall remain unnamed never got back to us.
Yeah, we don't know who won.
No, it was Team Gomer. It was me.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
It was all of his Zeus and friends. All those losers.
Wait, I feel lied to right now.
I know. I thought I won.
I want Jackie actually won. Damnedest thing. All that lip balm. The funniest thing. Yeah, my wife loves that. It's actually great stuff. But when I talked to him a week before the contest ended, he said I was well ahead of everyone else.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you, America. So novenas and such. Go on.
Back to my Bobby story. So I was writing this journal, and I remember I wrote in this journal for 3 years, and I thought
women
like
in journals. What is it? What is the deal with women and diaries and journals? Like,
I don't know. I don't know.
Teddy Roosevelt kept a journal.
Yeah, I was like, I have a journal. What's wrong with journaling?
Nothing's wrong with it, except for the fact that you're a woman, Luke. Go on, Jackie.
Fair enough.
Did you assume his gender?
Damn it, you're right. So, I apologize.
I realized I only have a few pages left of this journal, and I was like, oh, dear baby Jesus. Like, I actually wrote, dear baby Jesus, 8-pound, 7-ounce baby Jesus. I said, my ovaries are ticking. So, I like wrote this in the journal. I said, I only have a few pages left, so either you're going to bring me my future husband really soon, wink, wink, or I'm going to have to start writing really small, you know? And I was like, and so I thought, you know what? Maybe I should pray another rosary novena. I haven't done it in a few years. I'm going to do it. I'll do a 54-day novena for my future spouse, like wherever he is. And I thought, okay, well, August 15th is, you know, Our Lady of the Assumption, and I'll start 54 days before that. So I started this novena on June 23rd. I remember I was in Beaumont, Texas doing youth conference, and I was about to fly to Theology of the Body conference. I think it was it the Peter Kraft course?
Mm-hmm.
Peter Kraft was the professor. And
what? That's awesome.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Like the one and only time he's done it.
Yeah. It was,
I literally own 20 Peter Kraft books.
I think we do too. We own
like 17 and a half.
Okay. We're going to come back to this. Think about this answer, Bobby. What's your favorite Peter Kraft book? Continue, Jackie.
Okay. So June 24th, the second day of my novena, I re-meet Bobby. And I remember we both had a huge crush on each other, but it was going to go to the grave. This was going to die because I'm thinking he's going to, he's going to be a priest. He was in his third year of seminary. And I didn't know that the whole time in seminary, he knew he was called to be there, but he was very honest with his family and his friends. Like every time he came back from a break, he would be like, I don't know if I can do this. You know, I just don't. And he was very honest. So everybody kind of knew that Bobby was
on the fence,
you know, except for me, because I didn't know that part, you know. So we re-met and we sat next to each other at the course, bad decision or very good decision. and every time Peter Kraft would make a joke, we would like look at each other and like hold eye contact way too long. And then you're like, oh gosh, stop the eye contact. You know?
You're like, ha 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 ha.
Yes. Anytime Peter Kraft would make a joke about like sex or marriage, or he'd say something profound, we would be like, don't make eye contact. Look at your paper, you know? So
the union of man and woman is not a stereotype. It's an archetype. Am I right?
Well, he said at one point, he said, you're never more of a man than when you're in the presence of a real woman. And you're never more of a woman than when you're in the presence of a real man. And at that point, we definitely were looking at our paper like, don't look, don't make eye contact. You're a real man. You're a real woman. Yeah.
must stare at paper.
Yeah. So it was like 3 days in, and I can't stand when in romantic comedies or any kind of movie where they don't say anything. I hate that. So I just, on Tuesday night, I just said, hey, can we talk? And like Bobby's like thinking in his head, no, don't say, you know? And then he was like, yes. Okay. So we went outside. It was like 9 o'clock at night. And I just said, I said, okay, what's going on? Like, what's going on in your heart? And I kind of did the total small group leader thing where I like asked the question and let the silence, you know.
Awesome.
That's hilarious. Hey, I just want to ask you a quick question. Number one, did you understand everything in that talk? What in that talk stood out to you? Followed up with, what's going on in your heart?
What's going on in your heart? And so Bobby, as like objectively as possible,
I was being very scientific.
He was like, well, clearly there is either a veiled or thinly veiled attraction here.
there are pheromones being given off.
No, he didn't say that. But he was like, you know, clearly you're an attractive woman. You're funny. And
because I thought it was one-sided on my end. I thought I had a crush that she was just tolerating.
Jackie, isn't it funny how clueless men are about this whole relationship interplay thing?
Yes. And
well, you know, it was really like, that is amazing. It really is amazing. Like, she's paying attention to me. She must have pity on me.
Yes.
Not, she must be into me. Yes. That's not on the radar at all.
Yeah, so Bobby, I'm glad that I kind of had the cojones to be like, let's talk about this. And I thought to myself, too.
The cojones, I'm not familiar with that term. What does cojones mean?
Balls.
I think it's German.
Yeah, German.
I believe it is German. Comes from the German word, Heigmetreifen, for
testicles.
For testicles.
Yeah, chesticles. Okay, so.
You're never going to get through this story.
I know. So basically,
what is a cojones? No, I'm sorry.
I thought to myself, like, listen, if Bobby's called to be a priest, it's not like you're never attracted to somebody. Like, let's just get this out there and, you know, should be honest with each other and be like, okay, fine, that's great. There's an attraction here. So I let the silence sit a little bit after he said his piece. And then I said, okay, well, clearly I'm attracted to you too. But if you're called to be a priest, like, then this is, you know, it's the... Obviously, nothing's going to happen, but I didn't know in his heart he had been really praying for a way out of seminary for like a year.
My discernment was a long tug of war of definitely feeling the call to the priesthood. Well, the call to the seminary. Yeah, and I was blessed with a few very great spiritual directors that helped me really see the growth and the ass kicking that Jesus was doing. And yet we're detached enough to say he may be calling you to a different mission and be open to that. And was, you know, some really good days I could see myself as a joyful priest, and some days where I was like, I can't, the celibacy thing is not me. Like, I just need an earthly bride and an earthly family. Like, I won't be me without it. And really prayed for a loud blonde sign.
And hello, here I am. So
I feel like your seminary prayer was, since you wanted to get out of there, was like, dear God, send me a blonde so I can fly far, far away from here. Dear God,
I was just thinking that.
That's all. That's all I have to say.
Can't sit here.
That's all.
Oh my gosh. So basically, after that week, I mean, that was kind of it. Was from there, it was downhill because we both knew, and like from there, it was just downhill of like, okay, like he. You know, I kind of got to know his story and everything. But after that week, I was like, well, you need to talk to your spiritual director. So he talked to his spiritual director. He talked to his bishop. And his bishop, when he calls his bishop and says, Bishop, I met the girl I'm going to marry. And his bishop starts laughing. Goes, well, Bob, we kind of thought you were a crapshoot anyways.
That is the best thing a bishop has ever said.
It was the most joyful phone call. And he's the one that actually came out and did our wedding, did our mass.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's great. I was about to ask you, how many hundreds of priests do you have at your wedding?
We asked like 10, but because they were all, a lot of them were far away, only I think we had like 5.
But I had a ton of seminarian friends now. They're now priests that came out, and other priestly friends. And I supplied the clergy. Jackie supplied the musicians.
Yeah. We had like Ike Indolo and Sarah Kroger did our music. And it was just,
man. Can I just say one thing about Sarah?
Please.
She, me and her did a conference with the Josh Blakesley band at Sumville South. Yeah. And she sang, oh my dear Lord, what is
The King of My Heart?
Yes!
We were there, dude.
Of course. Remember? You were there. That's right. I immediately forgot that, but now I'm backpedaling. Yes,
I looked you in the eyes, Gomer. I looked you in the eyes.
Shit. Man, she was incredible for that song.
Yeah. Oh, that's, I told her she needs to record that song because it's amazing. My sings it amazing.
Goodness. Anywho. Yeah. And I'm going to see them in like five, 6, 7 days.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Are you there? Are you at another?
I'm doing the Atlanta XLT.
Awesome. Awesome.
Dumb.
So you asked me about the Novena thing. Well, the Novena portion was that, you know, Bobby and I, he talks to his bishop, he talks to vocations director, and basically he exited seminary like August 1st, and then he and his brother came out to California like the next week.
To confirm and make sure.
Yeah, to make sure this wasn't like some summer lovin', like he was the best looking guy at the conference, so he's my only shot, you know, like kind of that.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Hey, do you ever feel like when you're single and you go to these events, you literally, you're in a group of like 100 people, and you're just looking around for the people who are relatively your age, who's the hottest?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So I wanted to make sure this wasn't some summer loving kind of like...
I think that's a human thing. Like, I think that's a very humorous and natural phenomena. I think that's not bad. I think that's just a human thing, you know?
Nope, that's a result of your sinful nature, and you're going to hell. Go on.
That is in the catechism.
Total depravity. I'm a Calvinist. Go on.
Catechism 3527. So anyway, anywho, so Bobby and his brother come out to California, and it was just such a confirmation of like my family loved him, my friends loved him, and it was just like yes, like I just hanging out with him was like this is the guy, and so when he went back home, his dad picks them up from the airport, and his dad's like, so is this girl the one? And he was kind of silent for a little bit. And his brother, Dan, goes, if he doesn't say yes, he's an idiot, you know? And so Bobby's like, yes, Dad. Yes, Dad, this is the one.
And my dad's not a let's waste time on things. So the next day he's like, well, you want to go find a ring? Yeah. I'm like, all right.
They go ring shopping. And Bobby already had a diamond in his family. It was his great-grandma's diamond. And
She had a couple. And so... A
couple laying around, whatever.
That was fantastic on a seminarian budget. And I totally pulled a Jim Halpert of not even a first date, but had a ring.
No, we went on a date. Because you came into California, we went on a date.
And yeah, we did one date, and then I bought the ring.
Was your brother there sitting in between you two?
No, but he was our chastity cop that week, so
we ditched him pretty fast. But
yeah,
hey brother, look over there! Scram! Run!
Oh my gosh! So it turns out Bobby bought the ring, and then moved to he got a job in California, and you know everything just happened very quickly. Like God just took care of all of it. And 3 months later, he proposed to me. And when I ask him, I'm like asking him all these questions. When he proposes, I'm like, how? How did you ask my dad? I'm like, when did you buy the ring? And he told me he bought the ring on August 15th. And I was like, are you kidding me? Because that was the last day of my 54-day novena. And he had no idea. So like the first day of my novena, I didn't even know who my future spouse was. And I knew that obviously, again, like the novena is not just like an ATM. Like I knew I was just praying for my future spouse. Like the prayers were effective and efficacious, but it didn't mean that I was going to meet him, you know? So it just was like, God, I was like, God, you were just you have a funny sense of humor.
Well, and Mary's guided the whole thing. Like we did the consecration to Mary.
The same year
individually, like apart, like we didn't know we were doing it. So, I mean, Mary has totally guided the whole relationship. And I think
and we met at the Theology of the Body and JP2 was just so dedicated to Mary.
But here's my favorite thing about your whole story. Okay. Is the first guy wanted to propose to you in Rome with Jesus and historical 2,000 years of Catholic churchiness. Bobby proposed to you, if I'm not mistaken, at a
Mumford & Sons concert.
There it is. There it is.
That's pretty Catholic for a millennial.
Catholic both and here.
Oh, I think my gosh.
You can have both.
Well, the problem was he wanted to propose during I Will Wait For You, which he had checked their set list, and they'd always played it during the encore.
So I'm like, I got a whole concert to hang out and just chill, and this is going to be great.
Get hammered.
And totally had liquid courage, and they played it the second flipping song
of
the show. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah. So I could not, I cannot concentrate the rest of the time.
Is it game time? It's game time. I have to do this. I have to do this right now. This is the song.
Okay. Yeah.
You're like, so, you know how the song is like, I will wait for you? Well, like, I was in seminary and I was like, I was totally waiting for you. So will you marry me? And I'm like, totally like a virgin for you. I mean, like a secondary virgin for you. Cause it was like post conversion. I went into seminary. Anywho, long story. I love you. Will you marry me?
I will wait. I will.
Oh my gosh. If there was that much dialogue, it basically, he was holding my hand and we had like these like hand warmers cause it was a really cold night, surprisingly, in California. And then all of a sudden he takes his hand away and puts his hand back in mine. And I feel this like something different and it's a ring box. And I look at him and he's like shaking like a leaf.
And whatever grand speech I had prepared was out the door.
Oh, there was no speech. I look at him and I'm like, he gets on his knee during the part where says, I'll kneel down. And he goes, Jackie, we marry. I'm like, are you serious? Like, are you serious? Like, yeah,
it wasn't a yes, no way. It was, are you serious? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Because it was kind of this look around like, this is the most romantic thing you could have thought of right here.
How awesome would it have been if she was like, are you kidding me? Are you serious? And you're like, I'm just messing with you. And you just stood up and kept listening to the song.
A real Jim
bastard.
Hopper.
Yeah, that's what I've been like, no, no, yes.
You bastard. Bastard.
I just couldn't. I couldn't concentrate. Yeah, like after that, like questions were running through my mind. Like, how'd you ask my dad? Like, how long have you had the room?
So I was relieved, and I just wanted to enjoy the show. But she's asking about questions.
All right, honey. We had our moment. Mumford and Sons is playing.
Little Lion Man's on right now, so.
The band is on right now, honey.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I was in a daze. Oh man, but it was yeah, just God totally guided it all.
Yeah, but that was years in the making. Like there were so many years of discerning and agony and wondering where the hell is God and why won't he just answer the cry of my heart? And God moves slow. Sometimes God moves fast.
Yeah.
I believe it was the Catholic Saint DMX who said in It's Dark and Hell's Hot album, I may not come in the voice of God, mind you. I may not come when you want, but yo, I'm always on time.
My child, I watched you grow up and I've been there. Uh-huh. Even at those times you least expected it, I was there. Right. And look at what I've given you, a talent to rhyme. I may not come when you call, but I'm always on time.
Yes. Thank you, Prophet DMX.
I just shed a tear while cleaning a dish.
Rough Rider!
Oh,
no.
But yeah, it's so true. Like, God, I as a single woman, I just knew God's timing would be better than my own. And I knew that, you know, I was like, our Lord, like, whenever you want to bring him, like, I know that maybe I'm not ready or he's not ready. And sure enough, like, God's time was the best. So.
This is funny to me because I remember back when I was a Life Team youth minister, I would go on the Life Team blog. I contributed to the website. I would write articles every so often. And then I stopped for a long time because I was trying to do some other stuff. And I see this article on that you wrote, Jackie. I don't know if you remember this. You're sitting on top of a couch or something. Yes. I remember the image. Yeah. I'm like, why didn't she sit on the comfortable part of the couch? There's so much pillow underneath her feet.
What every man thought when he saw that image. Why does she sit on the couch?
Well, this is inefficient. She's sitting on the back of the couch. This is terrible.
Girls are stupid.
Moving along. But and I remember the article was something about, you know, being single and a well or whatever. And I just remember like looking at that photo and being like, how the hell are you single? Like, I know how I'm single. I look like a sea urchin. But how the hell are you single? But and I knew you, and I knew you had this delightful personality. You were funny, you were hilarious, you were engaging, you loved your faith, you sang and danced, you did it all, and
like a monkey.
Yes, but the point that I think needs to drive home: there are so many people who are restless in their singleness.
Yeah.
You know, they don't understand, like, they're faithful, they're great Catholics, they do all the right things, quote unquote. And yet they're struggling with being single. They look around, especially women who seem to outnumber men like 5 to 1 or whatever.
Yes.
And they look around and they're like, where are the good Catholic men? I'm now 27. I go to the singles or the young adult or the whatever, Theology on Tap. And all the guys that are there that are cool are married or engaged or seriously dating. And the guys that aren't are like kind of weird or sketchy or like, oh, no, I mean, like, I'm Catholic, but I don't really practice, you know, and you're So what do you, so really what I'm saying is, Bobby, what advice do you have for those women?
No, I would say that when I was single, I had to come to the
real. I said, Bobby, I'm just kidding.
I look over at him and he's like,
Watch Bobby. More Superman movies, brah.
Oh my gosh, Bobby, do you? He's like, I got nothing.
Listen, my goals for this podcast were to reference Nickelback, Evanescence,
and Batman.
No, Raymond Arroyo. I'm good. I'm feeling good.
Oh my! Nice.
Okay. Go seriously though. I would say when I was a single woman, I had to come to the realization that, like, I may never get married, and if I were never called to be married, would I still be joyful? And would God alone be enough for me?
Is God enough?
Is God enough? And I think so many people make marriage an idol, and they really think like their life doesn't start till they get married. And really, I've noticed. Like, again, if you're a miserable single person, you're going to be a miserable married person. And if you're a joyful single person, you're going to be a joyful married person.
Oh, will you tell that to my wife? Just kidding. Sorry.
But
She doesn't listen to the show. So I can say whatever I want. But the funny thing was, she doesn't listen to the show unless I physically play it for her. And the other day, I was playing one part for her. And then it went from, like, the funny part that I wanted to play. And then right after that, I was like, so, Luke, the reason why I say this is because my wife has my testicles in a jar in her nightstand. And I was like, ha, 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 you weren't supposed to hear that part. I got to turn my phone off and immediately go to the bathroom.
Oh, my God.
We love you, Shannon. We love you.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I just think single people, there's this idolization that happens when it comes to marriage. And I just thought, like, my vocation might be to be in heaven with Jesus. And so I was just happy as a single person. I thought, God, use me how you will. Like, I want to be joyful and healthy and holy. And, like, whatever you want from me, I want your will to be done. So I was a joyful single person. But I see a lot of people, and I even met this one girl who, she really had some issues. Like, her dad was an alcoholic. He was abusive. And she really thought getting married would, like, heal that. And when she got married, she realized, like, oh, I still have issues. Like, I still got my stuff, you know, and it didn't, the people have this idea that it heals all your problems. And in truth, it really, this word makes me laugh, exacerbates.
Cause it sounds like masturbate, but it's not.
Well, I had a friend who one time said exacerbate. And I said, no, that's not the word.
Can you play the chime right now?
Yes. Yeah. Did Everett Fritz, was he that friend of yours?
Oh my God.
Then did he like yell at everyone?
Like marriage exacerbates the problem.
Did he call everyone fat and then shame Gomer?
Oh.
Moving on.
Oh, God.
I just think like that's – so I did not get married till I was 32. And if you had told me that
– it was a fine wedding.
It was very fun. If you had told me that when I was 23, I think I would have been like devastated. Be like, well, like what's wrong with me? But I loved being single. Like I mourned it a little bit when I got married. And I think that like a lot of people, they just don't want to, I have a lot of ideas as to why there's that disconnect, but it doesn't have to be there. Like it can be a really, really great time. There are things that I can't do right now that I genuinely miss.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's such a fruitful time where you can devote energy to reading and study and prayer and the time demands change.
And watching Marvel movies. God, You people are so holy.
That can still happen. Hey, can I just say we were on a flight where to and from the event, we watched, because we're parents and so we're slow now on all this, we watched Civil War on the way out. On the way back, we watched Batman vs. Superman.
This was 2 weeks ago.
Right into X-Men Age of Apocalypse. Gotcha. So I am all caught up on my superheroes.
Yeah, we can't go to movies like we used to.
Because we have...
I have four children. You have a measly two. The oldest of my four kids is six, which means we had them way too close together. Okay? I don't sleep ever. Okay? But I still find time to watch, in the movie theaters, Civil War, Age of Apocalypse.
That's because you have Jaeger. That's why.
Yeah, and but does no wife, one the wife go?
My who?
No, he, what he does is he goes with one of our buddies.
Listen, okay, so let me just lay the record out straight. I drove 30 minutes to see the movie with my friend Thomas, who pays for me to go see all the major movies. But also, but I saw Civil War with my wife and Thomas and his wife. It was a double date, and it was awesome because I took off work to go and see it. Thank you, America.
I don't know my excuse. I mean, when was Civil War? When did that come out?
Last May.
Last summer.
I mean, we had just had a baby, like, in February.
Yeah, so it would have been.
We had just had a baby in February. You see, you see the disconnect? February and May are months apart, like maybe even like three.
You just, man, priorities change with offspring. Weird.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, I don't know if it are
babies. I have four offspring, probably. Maybe more.
Midnight showing in another life.
But you know what? Actually, you know, Sarah Swafford said to me, she said, Jackie, two under two is the hardest it will ever be. She's like, even when your kids get older, they are self-sufficient. They can, you know, they can feed themselves. She's like, but two under two, they're both helpless. You don't have any help. So I think
they're dumb as shit.
So
I have my two girls. So I have two girls, two boys. My two girls are 15 months apart. So difficult. Took a longer gap. And then we had my Noah and Thomas, the two boys, and they're like 18 months apart. But the hardest part of it all was number three.
Because you're out.
Number four was easier than number three.
Well, yeah. Who was it? I think Randy Rouse, who has eight kids. He said, actually, I've asked a few people with blood.
Don't do the man-to-man versus zone. I've heard that so many times.
No. He just said, I've heard from family people who have large families. They said number three is the hardest because after that, you know, you're outnumbered. But they said after that, your kids are old enough to start helping you with stuff.
Yeah.
I have a feeling our oldest will refuse to help, though. Stop. She will.
Listen, let me tell you. No, that's 100% true. Kateri did nothing for number three. She was lazy. She was complacent. She didn't change a single diaper. I'm like waking up in the middle of the night and I'm like, Kateri, where are you? And she's like, Candy, stop, I'm sleeping. And I'm like, oh, that's not even good English. So it was terrible. Okay,
child labor laws are not what they used to be.
They're not. Thanks, Obama. Hashtag thanks, Obama. Real quick, I want to, not by real quick, I mean, I'm six beers in, so this is going to go on and on. Jackie.
Yes.
The state of Catholic liturgical music.
Oh, my gosh.
Go. Have you been drinking at all, Jackie? Have you?
How long do you have, man?
We have another hour.
No, we don't have another hour. That sounds like atrocious. But we have some time because we interviewed Audrey Assad. And she's like, I'm not a praise and worship. What was it, Luke? I'm not a praise and worship leader. I'm a devotional leader.
Something like that. Yeah.
Like the notion was like, I mean, the biggest problem is this confrontation between modern, easily accessible. Like praise and worship music is a little bit of rock, a little bit of folk. If you're into Hillsong Young and Free, it's totes techno. It's accessible for young dude. I love Hillsong Young and Free. It's totally accessible.
A little over Hillsong.
I know. Fair enough. It's totally accessible for people. It's utilitas. It's useful, but it's alien to the liturgy.
Right.
So what? I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Oh gosh. Well, I feel like I've only seen music done well probably like 10%, maybe 20% of the time, which is really a sad. And I'm not even just talking about contemporary play, but you know, you can absolutely see the difference between like a choir or a cantor or a contemporary group that they're totally performing it and it's all about them versus someone who is praying the liturgy. It's such a difference, but when it comes to music, yeah, I'm always like really sad, Bob. And it's hard as a music minister when you go to mass and you're not leading music because you're always like trying not to think about it, not to critique it and how horrible it is because in general. It's
well, that's the wrong pitch.
Oh my God. Well, no, not even that, but just like the music choices or if I go to contemporary mass and like it's the procession, the Eucharistic, it's communion, and they're not even singing a song about the Eucharist. You know, they're not even singing, like the songs are just kind of random praise songs. Like, and so they have right, nothing to do with what's going
on. For this communion hymn, as we go forward, we're going to sing Eric Clapton's Wonderful Tonight.
Oh my gosh.
True story.
In a Garden of Eden, baby.
True story. Yes, that actually Lord. Happened.
Yes, Lord. No, it did not.
Mm-hmm.
No.
One show that I want to create ahead of time is I want to interview three or four people that I have selected who are, I want to call it the passion of the church worker. And one avid listener, Rebecca, told me when she was still a youth minister, she was like, the worst part about doing this youth mass is the choir director feels free to play Eric Clapton music during communion. No.
That is terrible. I see. The thing is, like,
listen, if you got an aching head and you want to get into bed, but darling, you look wonderful tonight.
Oh my gosh, so terrible. I wish that there could be more training for music ministers and even contemporary. I understand why people hate contemporary music or like why people are so pompous when it comes to. They hate guitars and mass. I understand I've only seen it done well a few, like with very few people. Like, and I could name the musicians I respect and I think do a very good job of doing contemporary music because it's prayerful. They pick songs that reflect what's going on in the liturgy. Well, and then I've gone to
who would you say like
that have contemporary music in it? Oh, Matt Maher does an amazing job, obviously. Ike, Ndolo, Ben Walther, Josh Blakesley, you know, like these, like Audrey. And so people like that who they do a beautiful job just leading. It's not about them. It's about the liturgy. So they don't just pick what's the newest hit on the radio or what's like on Christian radio, but they actually pay attention to like this is an entrance hymn, like this is a communion hymn, you know. So I don't know. I understand why people, because we've seen so many contemporary liturgies or music, and it's just they're terrible.
Sorry, Luke, you go.
No, say that. I'm just honestly at a point right now where I would almost rather like not have music if it's not going to be done well.
Yes,
because I mean, I don't know. It's bad.
And we, you know, I when people ask me what my preference is, I say I just prefer music that is beautiful and it leads to the sacred. Because I don't care if it's a cantor, if it's a choir, if it's a Gregorian chant, or if it's contemporary music. But if it leads to the sacred to me and it's beautiful, like it's beautiful, that is good music. And it should draw us closer to God, not distract us. So because I've seen some choirs that have been really bad or some cantors who are, you know, or like an organ and a cantor where they just don't understand dynamic or... and it's just like a performance. Mm-hmm. But I have experienced beautiful contemporary music and a liturgy, and I've experienced beautiful Gregorian chant. Like, and I also feel like even contemporary musicians have a responsibility to have a good diet of music. Like, it shouldn't all just be stuff that's from 2015 and 16, you know, like they should have, like, I always made sure when I was a music minister, I always told my music minister, I said, listen, we need like an older hymn because I don't ever want teens going through this parish and not knowing Be Thou My Vision. Like, I don't want them to go through this parish and not know these beautiful old hymns. So I always wanted to make sure I have a good diet of music in the liturgy.
Can I tell you the scariest day of my life was when I was talking to a priest at a youth ministry event, and he said, you know, one of my problems with contemporary music is people aren't introduced, especially the teenagers, aren't introduced to the traditional hymns of the church. And I was like, oh, bro, speaking as a person who loves the Latin Mass, I was like, oh, man, yeah, I'm right there with him. He goes, you know, like, people don't know Gather Us In. They don't know. They don't know. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Like, they don't know Peace Is Flowing Like a like they don't
they
know
don't know All Are Welcome.
They don't know On Eagle's Wings. And he goes, sure. And it really bothers me that they don't know that. And I looked at him and I go, whoa, wait a second.
Oh, my
God. Are you talking about Hogan and Haas? Because if you're saying Marty Hogan, this is the funniest thing. There's this website that I found because I'm on a campaign against Hogan and Haas and all the others. I'm like active, and you're not allowed to talk about music when it comes to the church because that's when people punch people. And so I started. I'm like, I don't care. I'm done with this stuff. I hate it. It's heretical. It doesn't even make sense in the liturgy. And then I went online. I Googled Marty Hogan, and I found out that he's a Lutheran for the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, which is like the most liberal. Blah 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 blah. And the funny thing is in the it's like a bio written about him, and it says Marty Hogan's music has been featured in ELCA Lutheran churches all throughout America, and also in very liberal Catholic churches. And I was like, very liberal in every Catholic church except for Sede Vacantists. Thank you, Sede Vacantists.
By the way, I don't know if you saw on like Twitter, Novus Ordo Watch, they said the only place that the hymn All Are Welcome is sung is in hell.
I think I saw that.
Oh my God.
Novus
Ordo Watch.
I personally don't think we have enough songs about eagles.
Or birds.
I think we could use a couple more.
Y'all, I started writing a song called My Dirty Pigeon Soul because I don't think the pigeon gets enough credit. I think there's eagle songs and there's songs about dove. I wanted to sing about my dirty pigeon soul.
Okay, so. Can I tell you that I actually own a CD? It's a single about pigeons.
No.
Remember the song from TLC, No Scrubs?
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh, I don't want no scrubs. Scrubs of something, something. Get no love from me. Well, then a group of rappers, I want to say from Houston, but I'm probably wrong. But they released a CD called No Pigeons.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
They don't want no pigeons because it's I guess they carry diseases in their mouths. Like,
that took a dark turn.
It did.
Well, that's why my dirty pigeon soul makes sense. You know, I think
it's very confessional, you know.
It is. I said, you know, Lord, heal me from my disease. You know, like,
I can imagine you sitting on a piano playing. And this is for all the whores out there whose mouths carry so many venereal diseases.
Oh,
let
my
us
God.
Pray.
I need to write it. I need to do like a Harry Carey, like Dinkle Donkle, my dirty pigeon soul. Yeah, I need to do it.
Goulet.
You win.
Uh-oh, anyway, your friend looks hotter. Uh-oh, game is something we got a lot of. I see this girl like your love. Thought she said thug, but she called me a scrub. Scrub? What? She must have tucked me a joke. Broke pigeon head freak. Lucky I spoke.
You need to do me a favor. You need to write that song at least maybe 15 seconds, and that'll be the intro music for this episode. Will you please do that? Because I literally spent 4 hours. 4 hours. Trying to create my own version, or excuse me, the Catching Foxes version of
same thing.
Yeah, same thing. Of Stranger Things 80s synthesizer.
Uh-huh.
You don't play the drums on the intro of every podcast?
No, I mean, I do. It's very exhausting. It's all live. Yeah, it's so exhausting.
But we spent so much time trying to find that song, and when we did, it was so exciting. Anyways, go on.
So calm while you play the drums.
My arms are so sore when we just begin the show. I'm just done. So I sit in a rocking chair, and I just ask Luke to take it over. Oh, God. So, Luke, how do we even end the show?
Can I just, Gomer, can I just say, real quick,
go
to
on.
Come back around, circle.
Go on.
You guys aren't making sense anymore.
The goofy answer to the Peter Kreef book would be I surf, therefore I am, which actually is delightfully philosophical. And he lit up when I asked him to sign it for me.
At that course.
At the course, because he's like, no one ever brings me this book to sign. Like he, and then we had like a 20-minute conversation on surfing.
He pretty much ignored me because I'm a woman. And then he looked at Bobby with all the
talk about surfing, it was amazing. It's
a
great
surf,
book.
Bobby?
When I can. The Pacific is very cold. I'm a Florida boy. So
it is.
But Jackie, on a serious note,
Jackie, do
back
you surf?
Virtue is phenomenal.
Wait, do I surf?
Yeah.
No, I boogie board. I like love boogie boarding. Surfing, I've tried. I just you need too much patience, and I don't. I'm like, oh,
fair enough. So, Bobby, you just said Back to Virtue. Is this your favorite book?
Oh, God,
I think if you only had, you know, I'm sure we could argue about this for another hour, but Back to Virtue is
so good.
So good.
Luke, what's your favorite Peter Kreef book?
Well, this is really fun, you guys.
But Jackie, what's your favorite? Is it Back to Virtue?
Yes. I actually wrote a song, like the song that's the title track of my second album was based on one of Peter Kreef's books. And it's, I was reading that book and it's called, The Three Philosophies of Life.
Oh, that's my book, girl.
It's so, I wrote my
Ecclesiastes, Life as Vanity, Job, Life as Suffering, and Song of Songs, Life as Love. That's my book.
That's the back cover. And my mind exploded when I read that. Oh my gosh.
Did you read, yeah, you like the book? That's your book?
Yeah, and I wrote a song because I was so inspired.
What's the name of the song?
It's called Divine Comedy, and it just sounds like a radio song about a boy, but if you know that book, you'll see all the little nuggets of where that came from.
Like poop nuggets.
Yeah, like little poop, not poop nuggets.
Nuggets of poop.
Holy chicken nuggets.
Luke, are you ready now?
Oh, yes.
Oh my gosh, Jackie, that is my book.
It's so good. So
it
good.
It changed my entire life. It's literally the reason why I went into philosophy as an undergraduate. How did we not get married? Oh, wait, the handsome thing. Oh, never mind. Damn it.
You look like a sea urchin.
Because I look like a sea urchin and you look like a Greek god. Son of a... Hey, Luke, can you tell him six beers in?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to tell all the people that follow me that this is like a PG-13 rated, because I have like 12-year-olds following me, so I need to tell them that this is for 18 plus.
Don't tell them. Don't tell them. 18
plus. Stop. I'll have Catholic moms like giving me a hate mail.
Catholic stuff.
That's fine.
Dear Jackie, I loved your beautiful album where you spoke so much about Jesus. However... I heard you on the latest episode of Catching Foxes and heard
the pigeon whore thing just wrong. It's just wrong.
And I heard your pirate hooker mouth, and I just have to say, my daughter will no longer be purchasing your album. Signed, Homeschool Mom Elite at Yahoo.com.
I seriously had a tweet like that from a mom. Oh my gosh.
Where can people find you, Jackie?
Either JackieFrancois.com or JackieAndBobby.com.
Bobby, where can people find you?
You can't find me.
Excellent. Awesome. Excellent. They can find you behind a guitar or another stringed instrument in Jackie's profile picture.
I'm holding a baby in the background.
Or pretty much JackieFrancois on like Twitter, Instagram, and I post stuff of Bobby all the time, so that's what they can
find. I just want you to prepare your hearts that the album art for this episode is going to be your profile picture with all of the stringed instruments.
Oh, okay. The one of us with the kids. Like, that's our announcement for Zazy, right?
Yes.
Okay. Gomer, go listen to Divine Comedy, and you will get the nuggets because you've read that book.
You will get the nuggets of poop.
No, stop. Not poop nuggets. Philosophical nuggets.
Luke, where can people find you?
I'm all over the place.
You are. You're in every poop nugget from here to Des Moines.
Exactly.
Oh gosh, this is just cured. I am cured. I can't believe this is where we end
up. No, that's what we have to end on. All right, please, ladies and gentlemen, you can follow me at Lay Evangelist because I am holy and have nothing to do with poop jokes. God bless you all and have a good night.